But yes, Tom Tunney, go fuck yourself. Stay out of Cubs business. Let the Cubs do what they want to do. And rooftop owners, you can kiss my ass too, buddy.
Dominican Hip Hop Volumen 3, la trilogía.
Presentación RD.
The Finest. Ha. The Finest Incorporated.
The reason I do not buy beer at Wrigley Field is because it's overpriced and it's lukewarm ass water.
Represento el género en República Dominicana. Tengo fieles mexicanos con máquinas colombianas. O nazi STI, ya sonamos en Venezuela.
Once again, go fuck yourself, Tom Tunney.
Cógelo con cautela pa' que no te prendan velas. Soy letal, algún mortal, sobrenatural. Conectamos el Pacífico con villano internacional. Frontea lo que tú quieras.
No, please don't take away our business that we stole in the first place. And the restaurant's like, no, please let us keep fattening these Americans who are going to come after a day game and, like, just eat lots and lots of hot wings.
Pero conmigo no te cruces. Tengo a Vladimir controlado Massachusetts. Mi talento es natural, marihuana.
And welcome to the Dreamcast. I'm Mo Rubio. You know me as Carrot MR on the Facebooks, and I'm at MRubio52 on Twitter. And with me today, as always, is Anokatuli.
What's up, guys?
Hey, where can we find you on Twitter, man?
Check the damn blog, man. I'm still refeeding the script every week.
Oh, but come on, man. You gotta give it to him. You gotta give it to him.
Oh, man, if I must. Okay, fine. It's WS. Dreaming underscore cub.
Also with us is Rice Cube.
Hello, I am Rice, and you can
Hello. Find
me on Twitter at Cubic Snarconia, and you can find out how to spell that by going to our website at worldseriesdreaming.com.
And we are recording after many, many, many technical difficulties. This time it was on my end. Wasn't Rice's fault this time around.
No, not Amish.
Uh-huh.
Not the Amish bastard.
Yeah. I prayed to the Amish gods before this podcast, and apparently it didn't work. The piousness did not find its way to you.
Well, you know what it is that you're Amish and using a computer. That'll complicate things.
Oh, it's like dividing by zero.
One Amish man using a computer fucks up the entire interweb.
And then you just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, you can't do that. Can't be doing
it. I know, right?
Yeah. All right, so you got some comments there for us, Rice?
Yes, indeed. We keep asking you guys for you to, you know, email us, and you can even use contact form on our site, and nobody ever does, and it makes me sad. But thankfully,
why you don't email us?
I know, right? But thankfully, we have a very active Facebook community, and we're trying to get more people to, you know, participate in the website itself. And we actually received a number of comments on the blogs that we've posted. And today we posted something saying that we are recording a podcast tonight. Please give us some comments. And we got a few. So Earl M. McGuire asks, which I truly believe will happen sooner than most diehards of Cubby Blue, will I be allowed to run down the street in Cubby Blue down the parade route with the World Series champs? I am willing to outrun the Chicago PD. To which I say, oh, wait, he has a second part.
Yeah.
Also, I need to know what you think or guess the distance of the parade will be. I am older and fat, so I will start getting into shape. My goal is to carry the Chicago Cubs W flag, which takes an extra effort on my part. And I guess I could start the answering. It will happen very soon. As soon as you lay down and close your eyes and go to sleep in your dream.
Coming
down the street, probably blue, on a parade route. It will go miles from Evanston all the way to South Shore.
Well, it'll start at the Rosemont facility.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which will be where the new
state-of-the-art stadium.
Yeah, that state-of-the-art stadium that Tom Tunney doesn't want to let the Cubs build. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, but basically, as soon as tonight, when you close your eyes, you will get to run that parade. In real life, though, we don't know. And there's no guarantee in baseball, as Team USA and the World Baseball Classic found out. And Team Japan found out.
Mm.
So, that... anything can happen in baseball, and it could be as soon as this year. If they have a major league moment, it could be 2015. It could be never. I don't know. I can't tell you that for sure. But since we're always World Series dreaming, I'm just going to spit out 2015 and hope for the best.
2015, baby.
Or Soler, Baez,
Rizzo, Castro.
That's when they're all going to come up and they're all going to be all-stars. All of them.
Jackson.
Even Brett Jackson. He's going to be an all-star.
Brett Jackson is going to be the next Barry Bonds.
Except he's left-handed.
That's too far. Taking it too far.
Yeah.
It's too far. That's it? That's all we got?
No. We have more.
Oh, baby.
Richard wanted to know, do you broadcast live? And the answer is no.
Oh.
We have that capability. At least not yet.
Let's be honest. There'd be some major drama if we broadcast live.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd have fun, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would laugh. I'm not sure if anybody else would, but I would laugh.
Okay, Chris Shackman, again, also asks whether we will listen to his podcast and in a message to our Facebook page. Did you know that you can actually message us directly through our Facebook page? Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Anyway, he is actually part of the Cubby's Crib podcast. So I think if you go to cubbyscrib.com, you will be able to get to their podcast link. And so we will, in fact, listen to your podcast at some points, Mr. Shackman.
As long as you listen to ours.
Yes, he actually promised to listen to ours.
And we can do some cross-promotion with them.
We can.
Their show, they go on ours. We rip the Cubs, tell Tom Tunney to kiss our ass and go fuck himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pretty much. I think Covey's Crib has actually told them that several times on Twitter, because I follow Stan. I don't follow Chris. I don't know what Twitter handle Chris has, but I follow Stan.
Tom Tunney's on Twitter?
Stan is pretty funny. He's pretty active. He's very passionate, shall we say.
Wait, is Tunney on Twitter?
Not Tom Tunney is on Twitter. I don't know if actual Tunney is on Twitter. No. You know what? I think actual Tunney might be on Twitter.
I thought he was, and that was a thing. But I could
Well, not Tom Ricketts and not Tom Tunney actually, like, yell at each other a lot on Twitter.
Apparently he is on Twitter.
Oh, shit. Breaking news.
Oh, yeah. Go tweet Tom Tunney at...
A-L-D Tom Tunney. Spelled T-U-N-N-E-Y.
Yes.
Feel free to send him a tweet saying World Series dreaming, tells him to go fuck himself, and to stay out of Cubs business.
Look, I'm not going to advocate that you tell an alderman to go fuck himself, but if I'm saying, if you're going to tell him to go fuck himself... The best way to do that is on Twitter. And what's his Twitter handle again?
At ALD Tom Tunney. T-U-N-N-E-Y.
So whatever you do, do not send him a tweet saying to go fuck himself, unless that's what you want to do, in which case you could do it at the previous Twitter handle, which is ALD Tom Tunney.
All one word, no underscore, straight through.
Yes.
Yeah. We can make some trends, too. You could say, what's a good trend? Hashtag.
No. Tunny cheap is, you know.
Tunny. No. Yeah, Tunny cheap.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Or Tunny corrupt. Yeah, whatever.
Lastly,
I like Tunny corrupt.
Hmm?
I like Tunny corrupt.
Tunny corrupt?
Yes.
That probably works.
Like, I think I'm going to send him a tweet right now.
Oh, you promise? It'll show up on Facebook, too. Every time we tweet, it shows up on our Facebook. Isn't that cool?
Just put a period. Put a period before the tweet handle, and it'll show up in the Facebook feed.
Stay out of Cubs business. Keep it clean. Hashtag honey. Bruh.
Oh, this will be fun.
All right, can I get a public service announcement out there before we move on?
Sure.
Go for it.
Billy Bettner, Rob Tavell, Michael Eaker, Steve Silha, and Caleb Duncan. You have all expressed interest in the Fantasy Baseball League. You have failed to send me your emails. This is most unacceptable. Will you please... go back to the Facebook page where you originally expressed interest, message us, me specifically with your email so I can invite you and we can get this show on the road fantasy-wise. Again, Billy Beatner, Rob Tavil, Michael Eaker, Steve Silha, and Caleb Duncan, please send us a message.
If not, you will be excluded from the league.
Yeah. I'll move on, man. I'll move on. There was a lot of interest in that.
All right.
I'll cut him off. $10 a spot.
Uh-huh.
Pay for the website for a while.
Did you seriously tweet that guy?
Yes, I did.
You crazy bastard. Okay.
I don't lie.
Matthew Garcia had their last comment of the night.
If you really wanted to.
Matthew Garcia says, seriously, oh, this is related. With all these problems the city of Chicago is imposing on the Ricketts, is it even worth the headaches and money to even stay at Wrigley? Plus, did you guys see the article on ESPN.com about teams cutting out pensions for anyone not in uniform? Now, the first part we can actually address later on in the podcast. The second part about cutting pensions for anyone not in uniform. Literally, there is a problem when MLB does something so bad that when Jerry Reinsdorf comes in advocating for the little guys, he actually looks like a good guy. If Jerry Reinsdorf looks like a good guy in this mess, MLB is seriously fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
Forget Bud Selig. Reinsdorf runs baseball, just like he runs the NBA.
Reinsdorf, he's the godfather, man.
He makes everything happen.
Yeah, he does.
He didn't want Cuban to buy the Cubs.
Yeah.
He said no. Boom. Didn't happen. Reinsdorf runs the shit, man. Not Bud Selig at all.
Real quick, sky point to Mike Kelleroy or whatever. He retweeted your tweet to Alderman Tunney.
Awesome.
Sky point.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Now, Reinsdorf, contrary to popular belief, actually treats his employees very well.
Oh, very well. He doesn't like firing GMs. He promotes them.
Yeah,
he fights to the death for them. Shit, he signed Scottie Pippen to a very, very lucrative contract.
To just sit on the sidelines and drink beer.
To sit on the sidelines to continue his career in, what was it, Phoenix that he was traded to after he signed it?
I think it was Portland.
Mm. Portland?
Yeah, he was. He went to Portland.
Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, he didn't want to be here, so the Wolves did a sign-and-trade to keep him happy. He takes care of his talent.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this actually ties into a lot of things that MLB is trying to do with not just cutting out pensions for non-uniform staff members, but also the international draft. They're trying to get more money towards the more tenured MLB players, the ones who will get the lucrative free agent contracts. And the owners' pockets. So the owners and the MLB, the experienced MLB players, will pocket all that money. And then less money is going to be available for draftees, for players who are just starting out, who have a lot of potential, but basically won't get paid for anywhere from 6 to 10 years, depending on how much time they spend in the minors. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the draft is... Sorry, go ahead.
And the fact that they are basically shaving pennies. The pensions for anyone not in uniform, I bet you, in a single year, they are not, like all these guys in Major League Baseball, they are not making much more than Josh Hamilton is this year.
Uh-huh.
So if you're cutting out that pension, but you're still paying, I don't know, it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like good PR. It seems
very greedy.
It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
All businesses are greedy, man. All aspects of sport. It's all about the bottom line.
Yeah, that's true. And I do...
Athletes and owners combined are all greedy.
You can also make a compelling argument that I don't necessarily agree with, that pensions, I mean, pretty much across the board are getting cut from all sorts of jobs, but I think baseball is unique in the fact that they are making a lot of money, contrary to what certain people think with dwindling World Series ratings or whatever. Baseball doesn't have a money problem. You know, they pretty much print the cash. So it's really unfortunate the course of action they decided with the pension plan and all that. And I just kind of wish they'd cut out the greed, man. But, you know, that's owners for you.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for Facebook comments. Again, if you have anything you want to ask us, please message us on Facebook. Use the contact page on WorldSeriesDreaming.com. Email us directly at WorldSeriesDreaming@gmail.com. Or just find one of us on Twitter.
And not hard to find.
And with that, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with some Wrigley conversation.
Sweet.
See you guys in a minute.
Tú tienes un norte así, dice que tú tienes tu meta, que tú tienes como un sueño. Ellos siempre como que tienen como esa envidia de que tú no llegues. Te quieren meter los pies, empujarte, hacerte pila de vaina. Pero cuando uno lo hace de corazón, uno siempre lo hace. Uno no le para nada esa vaina y uno sigue, ¿tú me entiendes? Ya, Felipe Trovio. No le pare a nada porque seguimos hacia adelante. Siempre positivo con la fuerza de un gigante. Hay un factor obstáculo que siempre está en el medio. Solo por ser real y expresar lo que yo siento. Hay muchos de ustedes que no quiere por el suelo. Esto es lo que vivo, por esto yo no muero. Yo voy rompiendo brazos hasta llegar a la meta. Y ando con mi pata de cabra pa'l que me cierre la puerta. Cállese palomo, no se meta. Y usted no tiene flow, ni mucho menos la experiencia. Tú has cogido lucha, tú has pasado hambre. Tú no has cogido vuelta, ni trote metió en la calle. No te has dado cuenta que son los rieles del metro. Y aquel que está en el medio, sin pensarlo me lo llevo. Esto es una vida.
And welcome back to the Dreamcast. Thank you for playing Dominican Awesomeness. Apparently the Dominican Republic is very good at baseball, and they won the World Baseball Classic. Yay.
Uh-huh.
First team to go undefeated, I heard, right?
Yes, they completely wrecked that shit. Let me sorry to interrupt. Let me sprinkle this in. We are playing some very good Dominican hip hop from a mixtape that was made about a year ago. We're going to link to it in the extended show notes on the webpage. If you want to access the webpage, it's worldseriesdreaming.com. And then you'll see it. It'll be a podcast. It'll be right there, and you too can download and listen to Dominican hip hop whenever you want.
It's all about the Dominican hip hop, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right, go for it,
Rex.
The all magic right. Plantain.
Okay, before we have an update on our Furry Four, which is Mauricio's really awesome beard fest that's been going on for the past couple weeks, let me sprinkle in some of our contests, and our contest word for tonight, the first of many, or maybe just two, is Gatorade. What? Yes, make sure you remember the word Gatorade at this part of the podcast. And to introduce our other contest, here is Anno.
So, if you've been following us the past few weeks, you know we have a contest with iTunes. If you want to win some free shit from our store, you must rate this podcast on iTunes. Leave us a damn comment, please.
I can't stress to you how free the stuff is. Like, it's really, really free.
Like, there's how free is it?
There's no shipping charges. There's no credit card information being exchanged. It's just, you give us an address, we ship you a free t-shirt, coffee mug, or a product of your choice from our very illustrious World Series Dreaming store.
I need it this year.
If you, that's pretty much it. You give us a ranking, and we ship you free stuff. The reason that we're asking for it is so we can get some good SEO on that young iTunes, and become up and coming, or get a better ranking on iTunes and be more visible. And if we do that, it'll make us very, very happy. We appreciate all the love. So.
We like that you guys are listening, but you must also go to that final step to rate and comment. You must get the comment. Then as a staff, we will vote on the best one, and that person will win something from the store.
Okay.
Please, rate the podcast. Can't tell you how urgent it is.
For reals, man. Now, we end this at noon on Thursday, the 21st of March. So that's the day after spring, and today was really cold. Anyway, the gentlemen in this contest have hair, and very majestic hair. We have Jason Worth versus Jeff Bagwell, a 1 seed versus a 6 seed, and we also have Oscar Oscar Gamble versus Dennis Eckersley, a 1 seed versus a 3 seed.
Aren't both 1 seeds getting beaten badly right
they
now?
They are. So number 1 seed, Jason Wirth, who is being represented by Scott Guthrie, is losing by a handful of votes to number 6 seed, Jeff Bagwell, who is being represented by Joseph Christopher Johnson.
That's tight.
This is awesome because Matthew Garcia has been pimping the hell out of this contest, and I think this is one of the main reasons why Dennis Eckersley has made it this far. Dennis Eckersley is bombarding Oscar Gamble. So Matthew Garcia represents Dennis Eckersley, and Oscar Gamble, which is represented by Shane Knipp, is now losing 27-11.
Hey, Shane. So, you should have gotten more people to vote for your guy, man.
Seriously. Got
more people to the website to vote for him.
No,
seriously, dude.
Yeah.
That's how you win.
Awesome mustache.
Yeah.
But Gamble has, like, the epic fro. He has the fro of froze.
You know what it is? It's the fro of record.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, yeah, we have a scant few hours before voting closes, and if nothing else happens, then it's going to be Bags versus Eck.
And if you're listening to this from the future, I predict that Eckersley is going to win the whole thing. Because, man, if you could take down Oscar Gamble like that, I just don't know what hope.
Bagwell's been on a tear, though, man.
Yeah,
That's epic.
It might be good. It might be really good, depending on who mobilizes. And I think I'm going to throw up the mock of the T-shirt that we're going to give away tonight after the podcast is done and recorded.
Yeah, throw it up when you put up the make that the cover photo.
Yeah, I think I will.
For the final vote.
Yeah, I think I will. So it's gonna go up there. Get in there and vote, and just have some fun with it. So we've been teasing some Wrigley stuff, pretty consistently. There's been a lot going on lately with Alderman Tom Tunney, who I don't think any of us like right now.
Tom Tunney, if you're listening, once again, kiss my ass.
And that's Tano Cattulli, and you can find him at WSDreaming_Cubs.
Hi, Tunney.
And
I didn't hear back from you from my tweet, bud. It's pretty bastard.
Oh, man. I think that's the open. And and we, so Wrigley Field is a historical landmark in Chicago, and that kind of screws the Cubs over in what they want to do if they want to renovate the field. There's a bunch of hoops that they're going to have to jump through, and the most recent proposal by Alderman Tom Tunney as of today is to replace the iconic scoreboard with a video scoreboard that doesn't block anybody's view, and you can make it as big as you want.
I think he since sort of retracted that, according to Julie DeCaro and some others on Twitter. So I might have to look that up while you guys continue, but I think he's retracted that because he realized how stupid he is.
And
I think he changed it to move it to the left field side and then put a Jumbotron there.
Yeah, I think the scoreboard, before they built the big scoreboard that my son absolutely loves, by the way, and I love it too. Everybody who's a Cubs fan basically loves that scoreboard. Before they had that, they had a tinier scoreboard where the Toyota sign used to be in like the 30s or so. So it's not like it's unprecedented, but moving that thing, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I don't think you can prove it.
Damn, they're impossible.
Yeah, I don't think there's a really feasible plan to really do anything with it. And I do like the scoreboard. And it's one of those things to where I'm kind of hesitant to give it up. Like, ultimately, if the plan is to give it up, I'm not going to cry a river or boycott the Cubs or anything. But I would definitely prefer that they keep it. And it's just, it's going to be really difficult to convince other Cub fans who have more invested in Wrigley Field than I do to get rid of that thing. Because people have genuine memories and, validate their fan experience by the scoreboard. Because it's a very sentimental thing. And it's cool that it holds so many memories for so many people. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation, like, no matter how you look at it.
If you get rid of the scoreboard, fans are going to riot. They're already pissed off about adding a Jumbotron, possibly, or adding signage here or there. They don't want anything to change about Wrigley. If you get rid of that scoreboard, there's going to be mass riots. More than you've seen today after the Bears decided to get rid of Brian Urlacher, even though he's kind of done and washed up. But fans wanted to spend $5 million a year on him. He's not worth it. Wrigley's a great place to watch the game, but change it however you want. Get money in. Spend it on the team. Bring us a championship. I don't care where you play. Play in the backyard, my backyard for all I care. Just get us a damn championship.
Oh, we get some good seats if we play in Nano's backyard.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, front row seat, baby.
A box seat, man.
Hey, off topic. Are you gonna host a wiffle ball tournament in your backyard?
Me?
I don't have a backyard.
I was talking about
my backyard's
not big enough.
We can't play on the train tracks, man. That's my backyard.
Hmm. I mean, we can. It'd just be a really bad idea.
Yeah, so that is a new dimension. Hardcore wiffle ball.
Sorry to derail that. Go ahead, Rice.
Yeah. We have a series of blogs on WorldSeriesDreaming.com about this situation, and basically there are a number of things that happened. One is that the mayor of Rosemont, which is somewhere between here and Schaumburg, I drive by it every now and then to get to Schaumburg because Schaumburg has the cool stuff. I have no idea what the hell is in Rosemont. But they apparently have a lot of land.
Not much is in Rosemont.
Yeah, they have a lot of land. They have a lot of willingness to develop that land. And the mayor offered about 25 acres for the Ricketts to develop as new Wrigley Field should the city decide, you know, not to play ball. And unfortunately...
Dave Kaplan was talking out of his ass saying a move might happen when Ricketts has never even commented on this.
Right.
Anybody with any brain that ran any city would say the same exact thing that the mayor from Rosemont did. Hey, if you want to move, we'll make this place for you. It happened in Schaumburg. They're all set to build an exact replica of Wrigley Field right off the Metra. Literally 10 minutes from my house, I would have loved it. But the city caved, they gave Wrigley Field light, and now that stadium they were building belongs to the Schaumburg Boomers.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is the mayor of Rosemont, and his family has been trying to get different types of attractions in the Rosemont area, from casinos to different sports teams. I think they tried to get the UIC DePaul Blue Demons, or the UIC Flames or the DePaul Blue Demons in Rosemont, or maybe... Is DePaul in Rosemont? Is that where their stadium is?
I don't know where DePaul is. DePaul is downtown, so I have no idea where their athletic facilities actually are.
Where's the Allstate?
Allstate is in Rosemont.
Yeah.
So it's in Rosemont, or it's right off I-90.
Yeah, so they've been trying to get, you know, different types of teams and entertainment up there for years. Because, like, as you guys said, there's just nothing there.
Yeah, but the move is impractical for very... like just a number of different reasons, and even the city knows that. Like the moment this was discussed by Dave Kaplan's show, the mayor's aide was just like, "Yeah, right. You know, this is not a credible threat. This is not even a credible option. Why are we even talking about this?" And if you think of the financial investment in Wrigley Field in the surrounding area, they bought that parking lot for $20 million, right? They are investing a lot in infrastructure for Wrigley Field. And there's a financial incentive for them to remain in Wrigley Field based on the fact that it's so iconic. Basically, like, the Cubs have no tradition other than Wrigley Field. Are we talking about the traditional winning? They haven't even been to the World Series since World War II. So there is no tradition of winning. The only thing they have is Wrigley Field. And we keep waffling back and forth about this. Yeah, blow it up, you know, change the scoreboard into a digital scoreboard or something that looks like the green scoreboard that they have now, but it's like change and show ads and stuff. This is actually one of Vano's really cool ideas that we actually recognize would never happen because there's just no way they're getting rid of anything iconic
Absolutely
having
not.
To do with Wrigley Field.
It'll never happen, but it is a great idea.
Yeah, it is a great idea. It's a wonderful idea.
With the technology they have today, they can make an exact replica of the scoreboard, only make it digital. You can even have the scores changed like it's being hand-changed.
Yeah.
Then
like
during
little Mario
animations. Show shit. I mean, come on. Well, not that hard with today's technology.
Yeah, but the thing is, without any, like, I want to say political capital, you have to generate that capital by getting to the playoffs, like, you know, 90% of the time and getting a World Series championship every now and then. The Yankees had that. That's why they were able to just blop on the shit out of old Yankee Stadium and build their new fortress.
It's funny.
But
the house that Ruth built,
they have no, don't
fans
have that.
Didn't care that it went away. But Cub fans are throwing a shit fit about Wrigley Field going away when there's nothing but losing and tragedy around Wrigley. I mean, come on.
I think we as Cub fans have a collective identity crisis anytime something regarding change to the familiar happens. Where, what Rice was talking to, the Yankees have these championships to fall back on. They have tangible memories of being relevant. And the Cubs, you know,
no.
Like, the only relevance that we enjoy as Cub fans is Wrigley Field right now. And take that for what you want. I mean, the team has not been good for 108 years. So it's, or like 100 years, and it really hasn't been a consistent contender for since World War II. So you know, whenever we are faced with a decision to take something away from what we feel makes us special, it's always going to be met with friction, you know, whether that's right or wrong. I mean, it's not really for me to say, but that's how it is. And I think any changes or gutting of Wrigley Field is going to be met with a high, high level of friction. And the front office is really, really handcuffed. And it's just, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, right now, Tony's willing to allow the Cubs to make their changes. But he wants the Cubs to build a new parking lot, hire dozens of extra police officers for night games. And basically, he's putting up every obstacle he can to keep the Cubs from screwing over the rooftop. We have no real claim to the game at all.
Right.
In the end, I think Emmanuel's just going to say, fuck you, Tony. This is getting done. Because he has the power just to go over his head. And I think that's eventually what's going to happen. Because Tony wants to see a deal get done. But he wants to see if the Cubs and the rooftops and Tony can work things out peacefully before he just lays the hammer down and tells everybody to shut the fuck up, get this done, get it done now. Yes. I say in about 3 weeks, as soon as the season starts, which is when Ricketts wants to have an agreement in place.
Right. Yeah, and I kind of wish we had a lawyer friend or somebody who knows what's going on, because I kind of want to know how legal it is for the mayor to make an executive order like that for the Cubs to just start building. Talked to a very nice lady on Twitter who said that, you know, there's no practical or legal way the Cubs can go over the city's head like that. They can't just start building and say, you know, screw you guys, I'm just going to build the sign, I'm going to do this, this is my house, so get the hell, you know,
Emmanuel,
get out.
Like that, Emmanuel wants it done.
Bro, you can drop the name, man. You can drop the name.
Oh, yeah, she's a very nice lady. Her name is C. Angie, and you can actually follow her on Twitter at C-E-E Angie, A-N-G-I.
Uh-huh.
And she is awesome. I think she writes for like SB Nation or Sports Unearthed.
She does. She covers the Rays, the White Sox, and she does GA or general baseball for the Maine.
She's a very smart lady.
She's one of the better White Sox writers on the internet. So anyway, sorry about that. Go ahead, Anna.
Like I was saying, Emmanuel wants this to get done. It will happen because Emmanuel will make sure it gets done. So the Cubs don't have to worry about him. It's just getting Tom Tunney, once again, go fuck yourself, Tom Tunney, just to back off, and just let the Cubs do what they want to do.
Hey, we can't put a swear word in the title, right? That's a no-no.
Just
so you're a bunch of, like, asking about naming this podcast, like Tom Tunney podcast.
No, this is clearly the a Tom Tunney go fuck yourself podcast. No.
You know what you call it? A love letter from us to Tom Tunney.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like that a lot, man. Because that's clearly the running theme. We've all been taking turns.
He's already generated so much negative PR. I mean, you can basically see most of the neighbors are just like, dude, let the Cubs do what they want to do. We know we live next to a major league ballpark. We get it. This is driving up our property values.
You know
what? Love the atmosphere. Just let them do what they want. And the rooftops are like, no, please don't take away our business that we stole in the first place. And the restaurants are like, no, please let us keep fattening these Americans who are going to come after a day game and, like, just eat lots and lots of hot wings.
But, the reason, you know, why
God.
The bar owners don't want more night games or to have Wrigley Field get built up because they're all interconnected with the way things are right now. The rooftops make millions and millions of dollars showing their game for whatever they want to charge. And the bar owners make a killing with all the day games because people get out of the game about, what, 5, 6 o'clock? They stay out, stay in the city, go to bars. The bars make money hand over fist.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you take away those day games, add more night games, the bars are going to make a lot less money.
And well, that might make Tom more Tunney because, well, look, they... The reason I do not buy beer at Wrigley Field is because it's overpriced and it's lukewarm ass water. So I am going to say, hey, wait a minute. They stopped serving alcohol after the seventh inning stretch. Where am I going to get my fix? I've been drinking this piss water for, like, the past 7 innings. You know what? It's still 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock on a weeknight, and I'm still in a party mood because the Cubs just won. I'm going to go to a bar, and I'm going to drink myself silly until 2 a.m. or whenever the bar is closed.
I'm going to throw up on my desk.
It's not going to affect them. All they have to do is open a little later and close a little later. They will get the business. This is not a problem. Let Wrigley do what it wants to do, because if that place falls down, the entire neighborhood is going to go.
Oh, completely agree.
Absolutely.
Without Cubs, without Wrigley, that entire neighborhood is shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's already shit, but Wrigley Field makes it worthwhile.
How weird would it be to see no Wrigley in Wrigleyville?
That would make me sad, to be honest.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, I was just saying that even though I'm all for doing whatever it takes to help the Cubs, it's just, you know, you have nostalgia. You have a deep connection to what you're familiar with, like we were saying before. And even though ultimately I would probably drive to Rosemont, I enjoy riding the number 6 bus and the red line to Wrigley Field. I like the fact that I don't have to drive because I live in the city. I like being able to hop off the train and see the bright lights of Wrigley. I like being able to, you know, walk right there and know that it's there. And that, you know, before the game, I can go to the subway. I could take my son around and see all the street vendors. If you take away Wrigley, you lose that entire identity. And it's kind of meatball-y for me to say. But, you know, if they are able to save that, yes. Yes, you absolutely save that. If you can't, then so be it. But
yeah, definitely. You can stay in Wrigley and get all the stuff done. Stay there.
But moving to Rosemont or
move to Schaumburg, move to Rosemont, move any place else that'll give you what you want. Yeah, build up the stadium the way you want it. Build an exact replica. Turn Wrigley into a museum. Do what you have to do.
All right,
stay in Wrigley. Stay at Wrigley.
Let's do closing thoughts. Here's my closing thought. Go fuck yourself, Tom Tunney. Race.
I would prefer they stay at Wrigley, but I believe this is just a ploy to get more leverage, and I don't know whether it's because Rosemont decided to do it on their own or if they had a little prodding from actual Wrigley. And I'm getting a call from my mom, so I'll have to step out for just a moment.
I know.
I'll take over for you. Yeah, like Rice was saying, this is all just a publicity stunt from Rosemont. They haven't talked to the Cubs directly at all. So they're just trying to get attention for themselves for whatever project they're working on. But yes, Tom Tunney, go fuck yourself. Stay out of Cubs business. Let the Cubs do what they want to do. And rooftop owners, You can kiss my ass too, buddy.
All right, here's some more Dominican hip hop on that note, and we'll be right back.
Soy como Juan Luis, Luis Segura, Fernandito, Aventura, Dominicano, gracias a Dios, Sánchez Mella y Juan Pablo. Soy como Juan Luis, Luis Segura, Fernandito, Aventura, Dominicano, gracias a Dios, a lo malo, contra todo. Que lo que manín, de Santiago soy, si me echo un millón, pa' Santiago voy, pa'l monumento, pa' la cancha, a beber cerveza.
Come on, Rice, get your ass back here, man. We got a podcast to do.
No, man, what are you doing? Seriously, what a jerk. He's the worst, Rice. It's just awful.
Oh, man.
Remember that time he broke the website and almost destroyed everything?
Oh, completely. Man, should have been inspired right then and there.
He's a bad guy. Yeah, he should have.
Horrible. He almost broke Twitter, too.
Yeah, I remember. He had just joined up, and then all of Twitter went down. You know, the more I think about it, the more I think the root of everybody's problems is Rice.
Can you hear me now?
Fire.
Yes. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Were you guys talking shit about me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, of course not.
Okay. I'm sorry. My mommy wanted to call me, and now that's the open, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Hey, mommy's comfort, man.
Yeah.
What did your mommy say?
She just wanted to know what was going on. You know how moms are.
Did you tell her exactly what's going on?
Yes, I told her we were podcasting and that we were going to break Tom's Honey in half. And welcome back to the Dreamcast, and I apologize for my mom calling me at a most inopportune time. This is what happens when you record live and don't shut off your phone. Anyway, the second word for our contest tonight is the word without. That's just as it's spelled, without. And now,
without.
What the hell were we talking about? Oh yeah, we were giving a shout out to a guy who tweeted something of ours.
Yes, my delightful love note to Mr. Alderman Tom Tunney, who can go fuck himself, was retweeted once again by Ryan Dunk. That's Twitter handle, at Ryan Dunk. So the same way as Ryan Sandberg, but with Dunk and not Sandberg. Pretty good guy.
That's awesome. All right.
Yes, his name is Ryan, not Ryan. Say it correctly, people.
I hate that. I think that's one of my biggest Cubs pet peeves.
When they can't spell Sandberg's name right.
Yeah, or they say it Ryan Sandberg.
Ryan. Ryan.
Yeah. Nope. So, speaking of, well, actually, it's not related at all. We're just talking about roster stuff now. Ian Stewart's going to start the season on the DL.
Hey, didn't we predict that, like, last week?
I think we did.
Actually, I think some of us thought he was going to get cut. Some of us didn't know. Some of us figured he'd get started on the DL. But either way, you know, he's not going to be on the opening day roster.
No.
And there's like some weird thing. So I was looking this up, guys. So when you guys are exercising, right, you'll feel a burn in your muscles as lactic acid builds up.
Excuse me. I call it getting swole.
Oh, yeah. And part of it also includes some fluid buildup. And sometimes, you know, most of the time when you're exercising, this is normal. You'll recover very quickly as the burning sensation goes away, as the lactic acid gets re-metabolized into something else. And, you know, I should probably know this. I mean, I majored in biochemistry. But anyway, it gets re-metabolized, and then you'll feel fine. You'll still feel a burn, but you'll be fine. And when Ian Stewart injured his left quadriceps, I believe it was the left leg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He basically suffered a strain, and a strain is a very, very minor tear, right? So then, later on, he tried to exercise some more. He tried to come back, and he tried it in a couple of minor league games, and now they figured out after taking an MRI that there's a there's a buildup of fluid in his muscles, and that's why it's taking so long to heal. And it could be a sign of, like, you know, inflammation. It's just like prolonged injury or whatever, but this is not normal. So that's why they basically had to shut him down. And this isn't surprising. I mean, he's only going to make $2 million. And for us schlubs, $2 million is basically retirement. But for a baseball player and for a baseball team, this is nothing. And considering the lack of depth at the third base position, it makes sense. You know, you just keep as many hopefully potentially able bodies at third base as you can. And it does them little benefit to cut Ian Stewart at this time. And so I think that's why they're just keeping him now on the DL.
Yeah. So isn't this case with Ian Stewart a good reason why you don't come back until you're fully healthy? Because you're likely to re-injure yourself worse and be out even longer?
Yeah, that guy was trying to make a team, and it wasn't going to work out ever. So
to all you people out there that get mad when people spend this much time in the DL or outside of game action, if you come back too soon, you're going to fuck yourself up even more. So stop bitching if somebody's taking too long to come back.
I know he's on fire today, man.
Matt Garza. Matt Garza had the same issue.
God.
He had the stress reaction, and a stress reaction, for those who don't know, is what happens when the bones rub together and start causing microfractures that could eventually become a true stress fracture. And so that's why he had to be shut down. And he also
is he going to come back at all this year?
I think they keep piling up. They say mid-May.
This is the Cubs that we're talking about.
Oh my God, Miami is tied with Cleveland.
We called that.
Yeah.
We called that. Noah and I called that while you were gone talking to your mom.
Yeah. Yep, they're tied. Anyway, yeah, he should come back. But these things, I guess, is part luck, part genetics, and part trainer. We have absolutely no idea why so many Cubs are getting injured. Some of it has to do with the fact that they were injury risks before they signed with the Cubs. Like Scott Baker, for example,
he got re-injured. Yeah,
Like 20 pitches, and he basically faced 6 batters, retired 1, and couldn't even make it out of the first inning. And then he was like, "Oh, my elbow hurts." They took an MRI, and they said, "You know what? We should probably shut you down." So, yep. And sometimes it's just like, wow, Starlin Castro pulls a hammy, Josh Vitters pulls a quad, Ian Stewart pulls his quad, Matt Garza, who's never been injured before he came to the Cubs, gets injured right before we're supposed to trade him. You know,
Soriano never got injured before he came to the Cubs, too. You know what happens with the first month? He tears his quad.
Yeah, we don't actually know, like, if it's because the Cubs have crappy trainers or because they just have terrible luck. I don't know. That's sometimes, like they say, if you're going to get injured, it's just going to happen no matter what. Like if the WBC, I mean, Hanley Ramirez got injured jamming his thumb or something. Chase Headley basically thought about going to the WBC and then he got injured, so... Who knows what happens, but injuries just happen. You know, you never know when you're going to get Lou Croyd because your wife drops a suitcase on your hand. It just happens.
Or you're John Smoltz and you try to iron your shirt while you're wearing it.
Oh, I love that.
Great baseball injuries.
It's one of my favorites. I feel like there's a bunch of stories of guys who tried to rip a phone book in half.
The guy, what's his name? He ripped his... finger.
It was a tendon, right?
He threw a piece of gum and he had a deep cut in his hand or something because he had a light fixture. It was
that
name just totally escapes me, but there's just like lots and lots of stupid injuries that crop up. And because as a baseball player, you use your entire body, you have to use your hands. If you damage anything, you're basically messed up. You're going to miss like 20 games, and it's ridiculous how many injuries are befalling the Cubs right now.
Let me ask you a question. With as bad as the Cubs are at third base right now, with an injured Ian Stewart, a bad Luis Valbuena, a scary Brent Littlebridge. What would you think about giving a minor league contract to Sean Figgins, who was just released by the Marlins?
No.
Why?
Absolutely not.
Minor league means minimum, man.
No. I don't even want to see him in camp. No, absolutely not.
But for why?
The question you need to ask is, would Sean Figgins be better than Luis Valbuena?
I don't think so, not at this point.
I think that depth chart would be it'd be Brent Littlebridge, Luis Valbuena, Vitters, then Sean Figgins.
Yep. If you are giving a minor league contract to someone who's even worse than Josh Vitters, then no. I'm sorry, I've never been so emphatic for anything in the past few weeks.
I actually liked him when he was with the Angels. He was one of my favorite players.
He used to draw walks and make good contact.
Then he sucks. Yeah. So, no. Just look at what he's done the past 3 years. It's not going to happen, especially not at his age. It's very unlikely to happen. I won't say it's impossible because baseball is weird like that, but it's very unlikely that he will be very useful at this point.
You know what's going to happen now, Rice, right?
He's going to sign with the Cardinals.
Doesn't hit like 280.
I know, right?
But with a 750 OPS.
Speaking of the Cardinals, they released Ronnie Cedeno the other day, too.
Yeah.
And there was actually some people saying, Cubs need to bring him back to play third.
No.
I almost threw my computer out of my window.
He's
the worst base runner than fucking Ryan Terrio. That takes
That's a tight race.
Ryan Terrio ever been thrown out on a walk?
No, that's hard to do.
Ryan Cedeno accomplished that.
I need to see that. I've heard of that so many times, but I've never actually seen it. And I kind of want to picture this.
It was a full count. Cedeno on first. He was running on the pitch. Ball four. Throw down to second base. Cedeno overslid the bag, tagged out. How the fuck does that happen?
I thought a walk was like an automatic, the guy whose base already gets...
Not if you overrun the base. If you overrun the base, you're free game.
Yep.
You're guaranteed safety up into the base. You can
run past first base, but if you make a slight turn, you're fair game.
You remember that play in Rookie of the Year where the dude takes a walk and then he takes off and takes second?
Yeah.
Yep.
Was it Rookie of the Year or was it Little Big League? It was one of those movies.
And one of the two Little League guys.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that, man. And I forget, somebody tried to do it in a major league game like pretty recently. It's like the hidden ball trick and all that. You see like once every 7 years. And it's just, it's really cool and goes away. Yeah. But you're guaranteed CP.
Yeah, but the hidden ball trick is a balk, isn't it?
No.
How can you hide the ball when the pitcher has to be on the rubber?
No, the fielder has the ball.
Right, but the umpire can't call a live play until the pitcher has the ball, right? So, I feel like there's a way. Something in the official rules that says you cannot do the hidden ball trick, but I'm not sure.
I think it happens after a live play.
Uh-huh.
You never return the ball back to the pitcher, ergo the ball is still live. You know what I'm saying? The play is never dead. Technically, it's still live. Unless, you know, and then... That's when you get the tag out. Because when I saw Ozzie Guillen do it twice, that's the situation that it was in.
Right. So I think this is now why the base runners always call for time after they get to a base. So that's the ball is called dead at that point.
Yeah, that's what I was taught in high school.
That's probably why there's no longer a hidden ball trick. Or not as often anyway.
It's really hard to pull off. Not even going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. So, yeah. Now the one starter is Samardzija. The two starters, Edwin Jackson. That Cubs
optimism. Starter is
I think it's Travis Fellman, Wood, then Villanueva, and then Wood. But that might switch up depending on how crappy Fellman and Villanueva are doing.
I'm really...
Yeah, Grusin might make the club at this rate.
I'm really worried about Villanueva and Fellman. More Fellman, because...
I think they're both missing their spots in spring training, and that's not good.
No, and Villanueva, he just looks like a reliever to me. I don't think he can handle a starter's load, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm really, my optimism about the rotation is quickly evaporated, and now I understand why they signed like 8 starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anything you could get off the scrap heap. Real quick, I don't think Matt Garza's ever going to get paid. And this just kind of came to me as I was thinking back to the Aníbal Sánchez stuff and how he got his deal. Do you see Garza getting $575? That's kind of toast, man, isn't it? Like, nobody's going to give him that, right?
At this point, I would try to see how he progresses, see how he's throwing, because there's literally no way they can trade him for what you would perceive as equal value. I would try to get an extension out of him for cheap. Like, I would lowball the hell out of him. And at
4 years, $20 million.
No, I won't say that low, but you know, I'd max it out at what Edwin Jackson got, which is
$452 million.
Yeah, but he got a signing bonus, so it's more like $448 million or something.
Got you.
Yeah, or $444 million. Basically no more than $11 million a year with no signing bonus. Because
that's overpaying them, man.
Yeah,
I think, well, no more than
it's free agency.
9 or 10,
and it's actually dictated by the market. I don't know, other than Josh Johnson and Tim Lincecum, I don't know of any other like high tier pitchers that are coming up onto the market in 2014. So
he has to come back, and he has to give at least 150 innings to get $11 million in my mind.
Right.
Even then, it's a stretch.
So that's why I said this is the ceiling. Like, even if he gets healthy, he will not make any more than Edwin Jackson is.
That's a good call. Yeah, good call. Let's move on. Speaking of money and free agents and all that, Alfonso Soriano made some interesting comments in the news.
Once again, today, proving that he is a great teammate and a great role model.
He's really. I don't know about role model, because I'm kind of iffy with the term role model in athletes and all that, because they exist in such a different world than the rest of us do. Like,
well, in terms of his fellow players.
Yeah. Fellow players, I get that.
How to play the game.
Yeah, like, leadership in the clubhouse and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like calling players role models, because you should never pattern your life after anybody you don't know anything about.
Right.
But if you want to mimic your game after them, yeah, look up to them that way. But don't try to mimic your life after somebody you have no idea what the hell they do in their free time. For all you know, Soriano might be a wife-beating rapist. He's not, that we know of, but you don't know what he does in his free time.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't beat his wife, but if he does, you know, throw him in jail.
It's like your son, right? You said you want him to play like Barry Bonds, but you don't want him to act like Barry Bonds.
Absolutely not. Well, I'd like him to be like Barry Bonds. Is actually pretty generous for, you know, at-risk kids. He pays for their college funds, and he gives a lot of money away, but the man is an asshole. I wouldn't want to have to deal with him.
Asshole.
I would love to have him as a coach. I'd love to have his batting eye and all that, but there's a difference between recognizing that someone is an excellent baseball player that you want to emulate the way he plays the game, the skills that he has, and emulating him as a person. You want to look to your parents for that, unless your parent is, you know, a douchebag. But, you know what I mean.
But getting back to what Soriano said, he gave some great advice to some of our minor leaguers.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to pull that up? Hold on.
How's that going?
We'll look at this during editing. I was daydreaming.
Well, he basically told Jorge Soler to not
get distracted by money, friends, Bane.
I mean, he has a 9-year, $30 million contract, right? And so he already has the money, but he says, you know what? If you want to earn the extra money, you have to work hard every day. You have to take away all the distractions. He does this for Castro. He talked to Castro after he had that little minor tiff with the alleged rape thing, sexual assault thing. So now Castro knows better, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then he told Castro, you know what? You're now getting paid this amount of money after your extension, but you have to use this for the rest of your life because you never know if you're going to get paid again.
Yeah, because
so make sure you choose your friends wisely and all that good stuff.
You don't have to look very far for examples of Cubs who won't get paid again after hot starts to the start of their career.
Yes. We have many, many guys that have had great rookie years and then have turned out to be crap. Jerome Walton.
Mm-hmm. Prior Wood.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, those guys are actually smart with their money, so they had good financial advisors, and they're not going to be, like, broke, like MC Hammer or whatever, you know?
All brokey broke.
They know what they're doing with their money. And Sammy Sosa, for example, he made, like, over $100 million in his career. He knows what he's doing with his money. So these are smart guys. They know that this is basically their nest egg for the rest of their lives, and they have to be careful with it. So those guys you do sort of want to look up to because they know what they're doing. On the other hand, what I think you were alluding to is something that Cubs Den was talking about earlier. They said that it was basically Alfonso Soriano told either a newspaper or Cubs Den themselves or somebody that he understood why the new front office led by Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer weren't spending out the wazoo for free agents. And he understood the fact that rebuilding is important, that you don't blow all your money on free agents, because at some point these contracts are going to look very, very bad. Like the Pujols contract that he signed in Anaheim or Los Angeles of Anaheim.
That's going to look awful in like 2 years. Yeah.
But he's on the wrong side of 30 and he's going to get paid for another 9 years.
Yeah, that's going to be a really ugly contract.
Right. And with Zach Greinke, like he's already had elbow problems in spring training, so he might not even be ready for opening day after he signed that contract. Any number of large deals, like Alex Rodriguez, that is a terrible, terrible contract. He is broken right now because of the hip thing, and he might get suspended because of PEDs again. He has $100 million left on his contract for the next 5 years. So there's some truth to what Soriano is saying, and you can't blame him for saying this because you say, well, he got paid $126 million over whatever. I forgot the exact number, but he's getting paid. But I'm going to put a truckload of money in front of you, and I dare you not to pay it, take it. Okay.
Yeah, let's read the exact quote here from Cubs Den. He was talking to Gordon Whitmire about for a story, and here's his thoughts on what the Cubs are doing with the front office. I think, and this is a direct quote, I think how baseball has changed, how the world has changed, what I see now is that teams that have the big names, they don't win. A little bit more quotes. Talking about the Giants free agents, like the big money guys. He says they're not free agents. If you play good at the right time with the young guys, you can do something. In 2007, 2008, we had a very good team of veteran guys, big contracts, and we made the playoffs for 2 years. So you're on a set of a team largely built on $300 million spending spree before the 2007 season. After that, the team declined. Very self-aware and interesting quotes from the guy. So kind of speaking to what you guys were saying, he's a very mature, self-aware player at this stage of his career who really understands. I believe he also had similar quotes not too long ago for a different story about how the big-term contract is killing baseball. I think it was a newspaper story. I want to say it was USA Today, but I can't remember exactly what it was. If I can find it, I'll link it in the post. And, you know, for all the crap that the guy gets from the fans, it just seems some of it's warranted because his play has been erratic. But, you know, the whole lazy, not a good teammate, showboat kind of guy.
Oh, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah. It's just, it's not true. So
I mean, you listen to the coaches that he's played for. You listen to the players he's played with. Everybody to a man will tell you there's no harder worker on the team than Soriano. He's always out trying to improve his craft. Fans don't believe it, but they're idiots. I'd rather listen to the guys that see him every day than guys that just have their own opinion.
I mean, if you thought his defense was terrible now, think of what would happen if he didn't work as hard as he did. And if he wasn't receptive to coaching like he was when Dave McKay took over. And he suddenly became a better outfielder despite being old as dirt and having crappy knees. I mean, I personally would not mind if Soriano played as a Cub for the rest of his career.
Oh, I'd be more than happy with
that. Play out his contract, and then if he wants to, you know, sign a cheapy deal somewhere, like even with the Cubs, I'd be all for it. But, you know, I don't think he's a bad influence for the club at all. I mean, everybody talks well of him, and that I think everything, all the criticism from the fans that don't have anything to do with his play, that's unfounded. Like, you can talk about how he strikes out too much, how he has a terrible on-base percentage, but you can't tell me that he doesn't work hard. That's just patently untrue.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on from there, and let's talk about what MLB is doing to Ryan Braun.
This fucking him over big time.
You know, it's really, really difficult to stick up for anyone who's accused for steroids. But I think that what Major League Baseball and Bud Selig is purportedly doing to Ryan Braun, they denied it today, obviously. There was a report in CBS Sports outlining how the... Or was it NBC Sports? It was one of those. How the MLB is pretty much talking to players who have connections to Biogenesis and who have connections to Ryan Braun and trying to strong-arm them into giving up the beans on what Ryan Braun did and pretty much trying to convict the guy. Like, he's pretty much public enemy number one in the MLB front offices. And
well, of course, he made them look completely foolish in the offseason.
Yeah,
by saying it was tainted, I mean, a year ago, I mean, he got away with it.
Yeah.
And so, Uncle Bud ain't too happy about that.
Yeah, so I think what MLB is doing is very unfortunate. I think if they want to have a zero-tolerance drug policy, then they need to have a zero-tolerance drug policy and not give out immunity for people who have used performance-enhancing drugs. Or they need to abandon the zero policy, the zero tolerance drug policy, and you know that opens up a whole different conversation. I don't know what you guys thought about it.
I think the players' union, if they are still actually representing the player, I'm not as sure of that anymore as I used to be. But they basically are catering to the whims of MLB. I'm kind of bitter about this because they basically screwed the Cubs and other small market teams by imposing limits on draft spending, and now they're trying to impose international draft, which MLB's player union is kind of receptive to, and so now I no longer think that they are in it for the player, or at the very least they are in it for the players who make the most money, who have the most power. And,
well, if you were baseball, would you rather throw one guy under the bus or let every player risk losing everything?
Right. But
which would you rather do?
This is, again, why I think we need to consult a lawyer about this, because I feel like whatever MLB is doing, there's something illegal about it. It's like they're trampling on a guy's rights. There's some tampering. There's some entrapment involved.
There's a lot of tampering. A lot of tampering going on.
Like, I don't know the exact deal. I am not a lawyer myself. I don't have a lot of legal experience, but it just seems like something's wrong when they're trying to basically burn him at the stake like this.
Yeah.
Well, it happens in all court cases, criminal cases, when there's multiple defendants. See who's willing to give up what information for leniency. It happens all the time.
But I know it happens. I'm just saying that it's not right.
No, it's not right, but it happens all the time.
I think the difference here... Somebody
strikes a deal to get off the hook.
The difference here is that MLB is enforcing one policy and then going against that very policy by doing exactly this. You know, they claim to have... they're taking the white knight position on it, where they're saying, okay, if you do drugs, you're bad and you need to be suspended. You need to pay for that. And then just a lot of what they've done specifically to minor league players with this same policy, you know, because they don't have union protection. So they can't they don't have the same appeals process. They don't have access to the same types of defenses that a union player would. It is really upsetting to me because I used to think that MLB really enjoyed its players and liked marketing its individual players. And for them to completely use very unsavory tactics while technically it isn't illegal, it just goes against the very thing that they are putting forth. Like, this image of zero tolerance in the pure game is immediately tainted by the tactics that they're using to try and pretty much get Ryan Braun. That's my issue with it.
And to be honest, it's just pure hypocrisy for MLB. I'm not saying taking PEDs is a good thing. It absolutely is not. I mean,
it'll fuck you up.
You're basically putting a foreign substance into your body to enhance your performance. That's why they call it performance-enhancing drugs. And it is a form of cheating. But for the longest time, MLB didn't care, and now they suddenly do, because suddenly people are like, wait, I don't like this guy. I'm going to burn him at the stake, and I'm going to invent a narrative in order to do this. And you see this with Lance Armstrong. You see this with A-Rod, who was an awesome player for a very long time. Like, inject me with steroids, teach me how to throw and bat, as you know, at a marginal level. I can't do what A-Rod does.
Right.
Nobody can.
Oh, okay. No. When he was in his prime, there was few better.
And this is the same with Ryan Braun, with Sammy Sosa, with Barry Bonds. Nobody can do what they did, even if they took steroids. So to blame their performance, their production on just steroids is, like, it's too simplistic. And, you know, we have blogs in the archives about this, and I hope that people read them on WorldSeriesDreaming.com. But the hypocrisy of MLB in this instance, several years after essentially steroids saved the game, is appalling to me.
It's an untenable situation, and I think it's a situation where MLB is wrong, and they need to reevaluate their practices. I mean, it's, you know, I think we all can agree that we want a clean game, or as clean as it can be. I don't really like what they're doing or what they're trying to do to an individual here. And it's unfortunate. It's really, really, really unfortunate. If we don't have any more steroids thoughts, the Dominican Republic won the WBC.
Congratulations, Dominica.
Yeah, I was rooting for Puerto Rico, but the Dominican is just really good. I'm still angry at Fernando Rodney for his stupid hat, though.
I'm still mad at the U.S. for sucking balls, man.
You know,
I sucked balls at the wrong time. That's just
The Rodney hat didn't bother me for some reason, and it normally does. Like, that, the tilt, just awful. But for some reason, for whatever reason, in that tournament, like, it was, I was just like, all right, whatever. I think it's because I had already seen it when he was playing Caribbean ball, And I was just kind of trained to just be like, okay. But yeah, that Dominican team and the reason we're playing all Dominican hip-hop just completely wrecked the entire world in baseball. Like, well, I guess I would expect them to. They are the first team to go undefeated in the WBC, cleaned that sucker right up, and they had a lot of fun doing it. Busted out the Magic Plantains, busted out the group celebrations, which are awesome in my book, and it was just a good time. And not everybody watched it. It didn't really seem to matter all that much stateside.
I honestly tried, but I couldn't find a stream. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, NSA, do not arrest me. But I followed on game day. I followed the tweets. I was very interested in it, and I watched the highlights. But I really wish it was on something other than MLB Network, because that's something that people would for sure be interested in. It should have been on like ABC or NBC or one of the alphabet channels.
Right. So, you know, it was fun. I think it did a good job marketing the game elsewhere. I think the Netherlands is really going to benefit from it. And, you know, we're going to start to see more and more players come out of there. That squad had a lot of really good young guys on it. You had Anderson Simmons, who's probably going to be the starting shortstop for the Braves. Jerickson Profar was on that Dutch team. Honk ball. He's probably eventually going to play somewhere on Texas. And I enjoyed it.
I also learned that Andrew Jones was Dutch.
Yeah, Curacao, really? Man. Yeah.
Right?
He came from the island of Curacao. So they play as the
Andrew Jones is Dutch.
Yeah, they all come from the Kingdom of the Netherlands, which includes a couple of islands, and Andrew Jones hails from one of the Caribbean islands that the Dutch own. So,
about that?
Exactly. We got any closing thoughts on any baseball-related items?
No, fuck Tom Tunney.
Yes, Tom Tunney, go fuck yourself.
And with that, I'm Mo Rubio. You can find me on Twitter at mrubio52. You can find us on Facebook if you look for World Series Dreaming. Sorry, I did this out of order. You can find us on the web at www.worldseriesdreaming.com. The official show or the official World Series Dreaming Twitter is @NoCatulis. And what is your Twitter handle?
WSDreaming_Cubs. Check for my tweet where I basically told Tom Tunney to go fuck himself.
He didn't say it in that many words, but he was diplomatic.
It was there. He wanted to say it.
Very professional. If I get a few drinks in me, I might just go fuck yourself tweet later tonight.
And if you want to find Rice Cube, you can find him on Twitter at
Cubic Snarconia. Find out how to spell it by going to our website at www.worldseriesdreaming.com.
Let's say goodbye, guys.
Peace.
Later. Bye, guys. Remember, tell Tony to go fuck himself.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Fucks.
But he can seriously go fuck himself, though. Like,
it's
a real thing.
He has to ask his constituents first if he can go fuck himself. This is all. Su mamá es una operaria, pero ella ni eso espera. La botaron del trabajo y hay que comer. ¿Qué tú esperas? La calle está dura, pero hay que vivir en ella.
All tweets telling Tom Tunney to go fuck himself to @ALDTOMTUNNEY. Use the hashtag Tunney Corrupt. Y está dura, pero hay que vivir en ella.
Hey, you know this is the fade out, right? You know this is like we're fading into the music right now.
No, you can't fade out now.
Oh no, we're fading out, man. It's the fade out, man. Come on, man. You gotta put that up front. I guess this could be the fade out. This could be a fade out.
All right.
I gotta go edit this bitch.
Te pierdas que lo más claro te manga, no lo veas a la cara que una mirada te mata.
But yes, Tom Tunney, go fuck yourself, stay out of Cubs business, let the Cubs do what they want to do, and rooftop owners, you can kiss my ass too, buddy.
te mueve la maca. Si la maca te muere, no ronque. Dale lo que te piden pa' que rueden. Suéltalo sin titubear, que tú vales menos de lo que tiene. El camino está duro, lo dice el coro que viene. Yes.